Y'all may be seated. I love the gospel reading for today, the walk to Emmaus. You can imagine how these two disciples of Jesus must have felt. They had put all of their chips on Jesus, everything they had. They were all in. They followed him till the end. And they went through a mock trial, a crucifixion, the most inhumane and unjust thing they could have ever imagined. Not only was it unbearable to go through, but their hopes were dashed and they were lost. They couldn't believe it. They could not believe what they had been through. They were shell-shocked. They were numb. They might as well have died along with Christ. As they walked aimlessly back home to figure out, to pick up the pieces of their broken lives, guess what happened? The risen Lord Jesus Himself came alongside them, as He always does. And He met them in their deepest grief and loss. In my Easter sermon, I said, you know, the risen Lord, why didn't He make Himself known to Pontius Pilate or Caiaphas, or the world for that matter, to prove to the world that He was who He said He was? Instead, no, He didn't do that. He made Himself known to His followers, to those who had put their faith and their hope and their trust in Him. One by one, He revealed Himself to them, in their loss, in their brokenness, in their dashed dreams. Although they knew who Jesus was, they were not able to recognize Him yet in this stranger that was walking alongside them. Jesus began to take an interest in their plight. He asked them, "What are you so downcast about? What do you mean? Are you the only person around that hasn't heard or seen what has just taken place in Jerusalem?" They began to tell their story. They opened themselves up to Jesus and they shared their hope and their dashed dreams and their... He began to tell them His story. And slowly their eyes began to be opened and they began to put two and two together. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus began to interpret the Scriptures to them, recalling to them all that they had already known but thought was over and done with. Their hearts began to burn within them as their eyes of faith began to open slowly, gradually, to the truth of the gospel and the fact that it could be possible. Could it be possible that He's alive? We went to the tomb and His body was not there. An angel said that He was alive. Could it be so? They got the sense that this guy walking along was not some average Joe. He was something special. Something about Him was compelling and attractive. Was it the story? Or was it the Lord? They reached Emmaus and they could have said, "Nice chat, friend. Have a nice journey." It was night. They invited Him to come in to their homes. They made a place for Him. They asked him to stay with them and they shared a meal together. Something quite miraculous happened in the sharing of this meal. When they hosted Jesus, Jesus began to host them. He became the host. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus immediately for who he was. And he vanished from their sight. Oh, that elusive Jesus. It didn't matter that he had gone. What had mattered was that everything for them was different now. He was alive and they knew it. He didn't need to be present to them physically anymore. They possessed him in their hearts, in their minds, in their experience. And they immediately got up and returned to Jerusalem to the 11. And they said he was alive. And the new community was formed. A community around the risen Lord Jesus. I think it's interesting to note that the Christian message is never fully ours until we are prepared to share it with others. We can never possess it until we are ready to give it away. It cannot be real to us unless we have been brought to a place where we can offer it up, articulate it, give it life, claim it for ourselves. It's never meant for us alone. This is the completion of the divine mystery, the movement. That's what this story is. It's a wonderful story. It's a resurrection account. But it is so much more than that. It is a picture of the spiritual journey, isn't it? And we all find ourselves somewhere along the continuum of that journey. From brokenness to wholeness. This is a picture of the life of faith. We have to encounter the risen Lord. We begin that journey. Sunday after Sunday. You know, that journey takes place in a big way in our own spiritual lives. But it takes place every day that we come to worship right here. The Eucharistic liturgy itself is a parallel of that journey. We come through those doors broken and battered, carrying the fears and the burdens, carrying whatever it is that life has thrown at us. We come humbly to offer ourselves before God. We come with contrite hearts. We listen to God's word being proclaimed. We begin to hear our story and His story. We begin to put the two together. We profess our faith, confess our sins, offer ourselves back to the Lord, and something miraculous happens. We can't explain it, but God takes our broken lives and joins them with His. He breaks, He blesses, He gives. Our eyes are opened, and there He is right before us. We move from brokenness to healing, joy, from despair to joy, from resentment to thanksgiving, from death to life. That is the journey that we're on. That is the shape of the community of faith. It's not something that we can generate on our own. We have to come here, be joined together, recalling the prayers, the praise, the sacramental life. we enter into a life of thanksgiving. We're sent out into the world to share that, to make it our own, to live it. That's the whole story here, is that we have to discover thanksgiving in our lives. In a world that is rebelling, I mean, you know, pulling us away from that, that there is a life of thanksgiving that must be discovered, and it can only be discovered where the risen Lord is present. Where we come together and we recall again the salvation story. And we confess our sins and we offer ourselves back to God and we encounter His grace again. Without it, we are led to a place quite opposite of thanksgiving, a place of anger and bitterness, disillusionment, resentment. But there's a life that overcomes that. And it's found in the community of faith. It's a Eucharistic life. So we don't just come celebrate Eucharist. And this story isn't just about Eucharist. It's about living a sacramental life, a Eucharistic life. But we have to be intentional about that. We have to make that choice. We have to invite Christ into our lives, into our homes, into our places where we need healing and wholeness and forgiveness. We can say, "Nice chat, Jesus. See you down the road." Or we can say, "Come. Come and be with us. Come and make your home with us. Enter into communion and be transformed." In the end, thanksgiving can only come from God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. We can't generate thanksgiving on our own. It has to be something that is God offers to us and we receive it. But I can't stress enough that this life that is all, it's all about coming back together around the risen Lord Jesus and being recharged, being reminded, being reformed, re-energized, dispelling the things that want to tell us a different story. We have to have Christ at the center. And Christ is at the center right here. We know that. We know that. He's at the center right there in the altar, in the breaking of bread, in the prayers, in the apostles' teaching. When we invite Him to come in and we take that host wafer, we take that sip of wine, the body and blood of Christ, He reveals Himself to us, is made known to us. Our eyes are opened once again, and He vanishes from our sight. But He leaves us with a peace that the world can never give, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that everything from here on out is changed, is different. And nothing can take that away. We're able to choose to live a life of thanksgiving and gratitude and joy and peace. And we give thanks to God. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.